This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy's offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. So whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Don't forget, you guys, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout, and you are supporting this podcast.
This is Jason Love from the Labor of Love podcast. You're about to listen to Storyworthy. You're going to love it. It's a love fest. It's lovely. I'm going to puke.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finn. We're coming to you from Lucy's Laundromat on Sunset Boulevard in Silver Lake. Why?
Why are we coming from Lucy's Laundromat?
Thank you for asking, because our topic today is comedy on a bus, which made me think of comedy in odd places. And both Christine and I and many other comedians in L.A. have done comedy in this laundromat.
It's true. On Sunset Boulevard, to be fair, you can do your laundry at the same time. So you can accomplish two things. So you have a gig and you're getting your laundry
right.
done.
And it was this one of these, I don't know if this is only in L.A. It must be other places now where they finally figured out, we'll build a big laundromat, we'll put a Starbucks and a Subway and a Burger King inside the laundromat.
Right.
So people have something to do while they're doing laundry.
Waiting for their clothes.
So Colette Murphy, right?
No, it was Christy Murphy.
Christy Murphy. Why did I think Colette? I got it mixed up. Sorry about it. Christy, I apologize if you're listening. She's not listening. So she would set up a mic on a stand in front of one of the bathrooms, which is awesome. So we cut the bathrooms down.
Well, we couldn't be in front of the emergency exit.
Right. So we're in the corner.
Right by the grabber machine, you know, where you put the quarter in and you try to grab the
and it was,
toy.
And it was like, and it was Silver Lake. Now, there's people in Silver Lake who speak English as a first language. They don't go to laundromats. The people whose English is their second language, they go to laundromats. So they're looking over like, what are these Blancos doing? What the hell
Blancos.
Is going? Why? Who is over here? Why are you talking?
Well,
why,
the fact of the matter is,
I've got like 48 kids. Okay, fine. I'm a terrible
In Los
person.
Angeles, you'll just do comedy anywhere you can get an audience.
Exactly. It was almost like you didn't even want. It's like if one person paid attention, you'd failed. You wanted to have complete non-attention from any civilian.
So it was really it was for comics doing comedy.
It was comedy masturbation. Let's face it.
Let's face it. Okay, so Jason Love, he brings forth the topic tonight: comedy on a bus with a question mark.
Yeah, that sounds.
So I have a feeling he did comedy on a bus. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. I'm curious that, like, how big a bus.
You know, this guy has a podcast right here on the Sideshow Network called Labor of Love.
Does he do
that
it on a bus?
I don't know if he does it on a bus. I would think he does the podcast
does
here.
Does it on the backseat of a Honda Civic?
I'm going to guess he does it here at Sideshow Network, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
We'll ask him. You know, the whole idea of doing comedy in strange places always brings me back to that I taught traffic school for 2 years.
Right, that's true.
You know, it's called Improv Traffic School. Look at Sean Merrick is laughing. You knew that, don't you? Yeah. Didn't you know that? And I'll tell you this, I've never had a moving violation. Have you? In Los Angeles or in California, many states actually, if you get a moving violation, if you don't go to traffic school, you're going to get points on your license. And a certain accumulation of points will raise your insurance.
Yes.
No, you are
that.
No longer a
so,
safe
yeah,
driver.
So let me just say, it was Improv Comedy Club had this thing, Improv Traffic School.
Traffic
school.
Which
we're trying because, yeah, here's the thing. Okay, they say if you want to get rid of the points, the state says if you want to get rid of the points, you have to go to traffic school. Do they provide the traffic school? No. The private enterprise provides traffic school, which you have to pay for, and then pay the state to get the points off. So it's just that they're doing you a favor by letting
you. I will say this. Most people never really learn to drive to begin with. They just learn to pass that test.
Yeah.
So when after you get through with 8 hours in me of traffic school, after I take my shirt off, you start listening.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but people did learn things because truly people are idiots and they don't know how to drive.
Right.
And everybody in my class would say, you know, like, everybody speeds. And then I would always point out to them that
80% of the people that are sitting in traffic school have been there before. Yeah. I would say raise your hands, and it would be 80% of the people would raise their hand. In other words, it's not that everybody speeds or everybody breaks the rules. It's the same people, and they do it over and over again.
And then you would tell them they were going to hell.
And now they're angry, and I have to make them laugh.
Them. Yeah.
So talk about a pressure in doing comedy in an odd place. Another place where I didn't do comedy here, but I got asked to do it, was to do stand-up at jury duty.
Wow, really?
Yeah, downtown in the criminal court, well, in the Superior Court, actually,
yeah.
Building to do, you know, they always have at least 400 people
yeah.
in jury duty on deck, you know, ready to go to different juries.
So you weren't on jury duty. You were asked to come and entertain those
people. And entertain those people, yeah. Wow. It didn't actually ever pan out.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. I thought you were going to say that you told the judge, I can't afford to be on jury duty. I'm a comedian. And he said, prove it. Do 5 minutes here in front of the bench,
yeah,
which would be like
make
awesome.
Me laugh.
Yeah, I was just
funny
trying to
girl.
Think. You know what? I just realized you may have this on your list. My list is AA meetings.
Oh, really?
There's been several gigs where the idea is, hey, we're all going to get, you know, we get together, we have a gathering place, so we're going to have some comics, you know, come and entertain people. And it's great, except for, number one, a drunk audience is usually easier to make laugh, so the really sober about it audience who are just smoking and drinking coffee like there's no tomorrow,
right?
Just staring at you. That can be a tough crowd.
Well, I don't know. I think that could also be, you know, they could also be really needing to laugh and looking to laugh, and maybe that would be helpful, because that just jogged my memory that I used to do stand up at this battered women's shelter. Jane Edith Wilson would put together a
yes.
group of comics to go down to this battered women's shelter at the Good Shepherd Samaritan Church or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really intense. You know, I didn't open with, you know, so where do you live?
Yes.
You didn't open with that. Okay, how
Who's
about...
Who's married here?
Have you ever performed at the show called Performance Anxiety at the Pleasure Chest on
no,
Santa Monica?
No, I haven't. Sounds hot, though.
Well, it's kind of like that show up on Sunset, The Hustler Store.
Okay.
It's comedy in the Pleasure Chest and the Hustler Store are similar. They sell sexual items
right.
that, Hannes, I know you buy on Amazon.com.
On Amazon,
privately.
Going through a story with a podcast.com through
clicking
the Amazon
on our ad,
so we
et cetera.
Get, a, we
yes,
get
of
an
course.
Ad, obviously, where I buy my
but
Civil
really,
War pornography.
You can have a comedy show anywhere as long as. Well, here's what I think. If you're going to have a comedy show, and I've produced. Listen, I say this if I'm bragging. This is not a brag because I don't have any money. If I had a lot of money, I would be bragging. So this
yes.
is not a brag. This is not
You've
a humble brag.
You've millions of comedy
I've
shows.
I've produced hundreds of comedy shows. Here's what you need. You need a separate area, if possible.
Yes.
Somewhat of a separate Ooh. Area. You don't want to make the people that are there feel they have to be watching you. And that was one of the problems with the laundromat. That's one of my things is a separate
yes.
area. I also think you should have a backdrop or a curtain of some kind.
Yes. You want the idea that this is a show which deserves a certain amount of respect, even if
right.
the respect is you ignoring it.
Right.
Don't talk over it. You just made me think of one of the
light.
Worst.
You need a light.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here's a great example of a horrible. This was just an open mic, but just like, again, not separate. There was a place in Burbank, which I think has still been torn down. It was called the Bombay Bicycle Club. It was one of those
right.
big corporate restaurants.
Where they
right?
threw a lot of stuff on the walls and
yeah,
they said,
there's a
oh,
lot of
it's.
Tchotchkes and shit on the wall. Like, hey,
or something.
You
crazy,
know, and the menu is 1,000 miles long.
Yeah, like they can cook fucking every cuisine there is.
Yeah.
And there's like chapters with tabs and
right.
You
everything
go
is just butter. They just fry everything in butter and therefore you're like, well, I guess it stays. So, anyhow, so they had a bar in the middle of this giant tchotchke filled restaurant. Like, you know, it was like a center area, right?
Right.
And it's like, hey, I'm like, okay, I'm going to come down and do the show. Maybe it was an open mic. I don't even remember. It was the night. I've told the story before, but I still love it. It was the night that they were premiering Schindler's List uncut on NBC with no commercial interruptions. So all the televisions in the bar for an hour before the show were showing Schindler's fucking List. And then they just, with no ceremony, turned off the mic, turned off the phone,
and
the TVs,
the
and said, and now,
styling's
stand-up
off.
Comedy.
Hot
it's like,
spinning.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Just and lean just, over and take
not,
it in the ass, Hannes.
Just
take
turn the TVs
it.
Off. Anything. Don't put this on. This is an example of, like, you gotta, yeah, it has to be produced. You're talking about producing it and not just going, I'm going
right.
to show up and start talking about you know, penises and vaginas, and I'm sure that'll be fine with all the families here in the restaurant.
And here's another place that is sort of strange to do comedy, but now it's become very popular, and that is the back of Meltdown Comics, also on Sunset Boulevard.
Right, but that store is a performance space. It is separate.
It is a performance space. It is a separate area. They have a light and a microphone and a backdrop.
Yeah.
Boom,
and
we have a show.
And you go to a giant comic book store. How cool. You just feel like, I'm cool, I'm nerdy, but I'm also cool as you walk by. And then you go in there, you're like, oh, this is kind of neat.
The chairs are very uncomfortable there. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a storyteller here tonight. I'm very excited.
By the way, this is what you call your old person complaint about going out. Well, how was the show? It was brilliant. It transcended. It changed my life. However, the chairs were uncomfortable.
Where are we going to park?
Yeah, I can't park. I remember when your nephew, when he was young, came out here. He was like, hey, how do I get to the Troubadour someplace on Sunset Boulevard? And me immediately, I'm like, you don't want to drive down there on a Friday night. There, it says what you do. You park, you take the bus up there. He's looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Old
I just want to go
I'm
get laid.
I'm 23 years old, and I want to go to the goddamn Troubadour.
Yeah.
I was there last week. I'll say something, honest. This concert called for Boy and Bear is the name of the band, Boy and Bear. They are so good. And the thing with the Troubadour is the stage is never more than 15 feet from where you're standing.
Right.
Because it's so small.
Yeah.
It's the best place to see a concert.
All right, there you go.
I had a great
time. A little free
time.
Troubadour plug for you.
Also, folks, if you want to support Storyworthy and... Hey, why don't you?
Why don't you?
Here's a few things you could do. You could follow us on Twitter. Why not? That's easy enough. At Storyworthy.
Perfect.
I'm funny. You follow me. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. People, you're going to love it. The people who follow Storyworthy are funny. The people who are retweeted by Storyworthy are funny.
Oh, thanks, Hannes. That was very nice to say. I didn't even know you had a full grasp of that whole concept.
I do have a grasp of that. I can't figure out. Okay, here's one of the main things I can't figure out about Twitter. That you can favorite a tweet... But separately, you retweet the tweet.
True.
Now, it seems to me like that should be a one in the same.
Oh, no, because
function.
I'll favorite 10 things before I retweet. I retweet 1 in 20 or 100, 1 in 25 things. It has to be very fucking funny for me to retweet it. Here's what I retweeted last night.
Yeah.
I forget who tweeted it first, but it was CNN picks up Malaysia Flight 370 for another season.
Okay, that's very good.
That's very funny.
That's very good.
The words were put together just perfectly. Yeah. I retweeted it, but I favorited 20 things yesterday.
Okay.
So it's two different things.
So what you're saying is your favorite means nothing. I see what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, stay tuned because Jason Love is on his way here. Folks, guess what? Storyworthy is now dropping twice a week.
Twice? What, does this mean more work?
It's a little bit. It's double the work is what it is, actually.
Oh.
But two brand new true stories coming at you every week from the Storyworthy podcast.
I guess that is good because that's twice as much me.
Twice as much me.
I'm sorry, my earphones are cutting out. What did you say?
Hey,
I heard,
folks,
just heard it was
listen
me.
Listen in. Twice a week, Storyworthy will be coming at you.
Twice a week.
On Storyworthy, we have writer-comedian Ed Krasnick.
And I'll be talking about my new Showtime special, Good Night and Bad Luck.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, this is Brian Bishop, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Enjoy.
And we're back. We have left Lucy's laundromat, and we're just standing in the middle of Sunset Boulevard. That's it. We're just standing in the middle.
We're only like 2 miles from my house right here.
I know. Let's start walking. We'll do the rest of the show while we walk.
And
we may be at your house by the time he finishes.
Very close to Dodger Stadium right now as well.
Yeah, and that's going to be, talk about old people problems. That can be a pain in the ass on
game day. Have a little bit of spirit in your heart, for
I have
Christ
spirit in my
sakes.
Heart, but can't they have a little mass transit? Isn't there a train that could go up to Dodger Stadium? They gouge you on the parking. When I was
you
went out to a field.
Can I tell you something? They actually just dropped the parking at Dodger Stadium. It did. It used to be $20 a pop.
Yeah.
And then that crook, I can't remember his name.
Frank McCourt.
Yeah, McCourt. He owned it. And then when he sold the team, the first thing, it was Magic Johnson's company, right, that bought it.
Yeah.
And the first thing they did was they dropped the parking back down to $10.
Right, because
he had. What are you complaining about?
Everything.
again.
Frank McCourt, he was a parking lot guy. That's how he made his money.
Yeah.
He's all about parking. He doesn't care about buildings. You know, he just enjoyed parking.
You know what is really lucrative is parking and storage. Those are two things I keep thinking about. Because
no, you're right.
There's so little overhead.
And people store shit that they should not
they
be
completely
paying.
Forget,
you know how,
right.
You know how Oprah says, like, you look at your closet, and if you haven't worn some in 5 years, throw it away.
Wait, first of all, I just like the fact that you are referencing Oprah.
I know, that's what
fashion,
I enjoy.
In a fashion context.
I know, I enjoy
okay,
it.
I'm just
but
saying.
It's like, but it applies to everything. It's like, you know, if you have something that is not like one specific thing, like a machine, that you are paying to be in storage, you don't fucking need that shit.
I know, man.
You don't need that. You're paying monthly for stuff that is too unimportant to even be in your house.
At the end of the year, you've spent $1,200, and the item in the closet is worth $650.
And you have forgotten
that you even
what's
had
in the storage unit.
It can't be that important.
It's not. And then it ends up on one of those stupid shows where they cut the lock off and they pay $12, and the fat guy goes in and goes, look, I found Lincoln's biography in his own hand. Or
listen, this
like
gives me an idea. They should do comedy at storage facilities.
Oh, my God. That is brilliant. There's a lot of space.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Love is here right now. He is a writer, a cartoon artist, and a comedian. You've seen him on Comedy Central, HBO, Last Comic Standing, and Funny or Die. And he has a daily cartoon called Snapshots, Hannes. It's syndicated, and it's in more than 100 publications.
What? Publications? They still publish things?
Can you imagine? I think that would feel amazing
that
to have your work
awesome.
So
all
in so
over
many
the country.
Places.
All over the world, perhaps.
He also has his own podcast, like I mentioned, called Labor of Love, right here on the Sideshow Network. And you can find him on his website, jasonlove.com, or on Twitter, at jasonlovecomedy. Folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jason Love.
Woo! Love that guy.
Well, thank you for having me. After all of your stories, mine doesn't seem so special anymore, but I did stand-up comedy on a bus. You get to a point of desperation in your comedy life where a certain amount of money, you'll do just about anything. This has to be the low. And I've done comedy for people who don't speak English, even a little. Russian immigrant, elderly women who did not speak English, and this is still worse. The gig was a two-day gig, and I had to agree to both days in advance. If I had known that, I wouldn't have done it. But the gig was to entertain people from a corporation, and they've come from all parts of the country, to Long Beach, to Dodger Stadium. And if you look on the map, those two blue dots are right next to each other, Long Beach and L.A. It looks very close. And the deal was that I would have to perform stand-up for the length of the bus trip. I'm thinking, okay, 40 minutes maybe in traffic. And I prepared all of this baseball material. I didn't even know what the company was for, but I thought that would be that would unify the bus. That would get us all together because we're going to a Dodger game. Turns out that not only did they not know about baseball, they didn't care. Like this was one of many things they would be doing, including SeaWorld, and you know, I was just the next attraction. If you haven't done comedy in a loud, moving vessel, one of the edicts of a good comedy room is that it's quiet and everybody's there's like focus and everybody's at attention. Most of them were in LA for the first time, so they were sightseeing while I was doing my show. So we get onto the bus, everybody files in. Also, there's no sound. I'm going to be doing it into the bus driver's jack-in-the-box little thing that comes down like, can I supersize that for you? So they couldn't hear me, and it's another edict of comedy. If they can't hear you, you really don't stand a choice. So I decide to, I bomb with a couple of baseball jokes, find out they know nothing about baseball, and go, okay, plan B, I'm just going to talk about my life. I know you've come from all around the nation to see Dodger Stadium, but here's why I don't like shampoo in the shower of my ladies. The material wasn't working, so I decide to turn it into a sightseeing tour. That's the most logical thing. And I finally did start getting some laughs. Some of them were looking at me, you know, the RCA dog look. They had no idea what comedy was, and this was their first comedy experience. Fortunately, there were the landmarks, like the FBI center was on the way, and that was right across the street from the Candy Kitty strip joint, and it was right after Obama's guys had gotten caught in Colombia. So, you know, I finally had a joke like, oh, isn't that convenient? You think which came first, the FBI headquarters or Candy Kitty strip? Oh, I am being a rookie. I just spilled water. Honest to the rescue. I'm never going to be invited back to their show. I've destroyed several thousand dollars worth of equipment, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And Hannes is saving it. And by the way, Hannes is my favorite name of all. It's like Hannes the Barbarian.
Exactly.
So I'm doing comedy in the front of a bus. This is actually funnier what's happening in front of me now. Doing comedy
Pay
in front
no
of the bus.
Pay attention to the man behind the mirror.
It's all been saved. Sizzle, sizzle. And we're in stop-and-go traffic. So the whole time I'm doing the show, I'm trying to wedge myself into the seat so I don't go flying, like my back is to the windshield. And the driver's behind me laughing at the comedy of me trying to keep my balance doing show. So I'm reaching for the thing. And I finally decide, you know what? I'm going to grab my guitar, which I brought just in case. I would never, ever go to it. I'm like, we're basically singing Kumbaya at this point. So even if they don't find it funny, even if they don't speak English, and I couldn't tell whether some did, I was just going to play the guitar and make it pleasant. But when I did that, I had no hands to brace myself on the stop-and-go traffic. So I'm using my legs, and I'm getting the thigh burn you get from you're at the gym, and you get the stationary burn from just trying to hold myself up to play the guitar to entertain these people, which was an impossible task to begin with. And the traffic that night was just from hell. It literally took an hour and a half. It was an hour and a half long. And the guy was going, no, keep going. You know, we're paying you to do the whole thing. And by the way, I did not even get a ticket to the Dodger game. I didn't even get to see the Dodger game. I had to have my girlfriend traveling behind us in stop-and-go traffic. She was making a percentage of what I was making. So we get off, I finally hear the best noise I've ever heard in my whole life, which was the because that meant that the door was going to open, and I was going to be released. Sweaty, floppy sweat, and Patty's waiting behind to pick me up, and I know I've got to do it again tomorrow. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
So many things wrong with
that. Well, I was going to ask you, what do you mean by having to do it again tomorrow? Like, who were you
Remember,
taking?
He agreed to do both
No,
days.
I know, but what was the next day?
A whole new group of non-responsive corporate
Oh, I see. They
robots.
Were doing, okay, so it was another group of the same corporate group.
Yeah, and by the way, I do a lot of corporate. That doesn't phase me.
Right.
So it wasn't that they were all, like when you do corporate, the thing that makes you bomb is that everybody works together. So everything they laugh at is kind of a reflection of what they believe and everything has to go through HR. So it wasn't that. It was just that they hated me.
But they didn't hate you. What they hated was the idea. Well, they weren't that crazy about you. But it's not about you.
Matters.
It's about
right.
What they hated was the idea that somebody was so dumb or so unbelieving in their ability to entertain themselves on a bus ride for an hour and a half, they've got to hire a fucking comic. It's like, don't hire a comic.
We have iPhones, damn it.
I mean, I was going to go, well, they should have just hired a singer. No, don't hire anybody.
Yeah,
well, it's a bus ride. People
read
or talk
or take a
nap.
You can't take it personally, Jason, because you do have a good personality. It's just that, and I think that you did the right thing, because when in doubt, grab your guitar.
I wish I played guitar, seriously.
And yeah, what did you play? What was the first thing you thought, well, this will get them going?
Well, they were older.
Okay, so let me guess.
Okay.
Stardust.
Ziggy playing guitar.
No, I was thinking more of the Starry,
He thinks that's
starry
what Stardust
night.
Means.
That's the one I was thinking
Stardust,
of.
Stardust.
I thought you said
the song
Ziggy
from
Stardust.
The 40s. No.
I was
okay,
thinking of the older
oh,
people. Starry,
standard.
Starry night.
Oh. Fuck me. I got to lie down and take a nap. Where's my lope ring?
You know, the story about like Vincent Van Gogh. You know, it's very depressing.
He sings.
Oh, that's not even the song.
And then he lost his ear.
Wait a minute, Christine. That song's from the 60s. Not, okay. I'm thinking about the song from the 40s.
Yeah, you went back a whole different generation.
No, Stardust, the actual song Stardust.
Oh, Stardust Melody. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, Stardust, which was by Helgi Carmichael. You're thinking of the one by Don McLean, which is about Vince.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Vince Van Gogh, and that's too old even for him.
They wouldn't have liked that either.
So let me go back with my reference.
It was close, though.
What did you start with?
I tried a Johnny Cash Dick joke song.
Well, what could go wrong
What could possibly go wrong?
What, was it's it like Folsom Prison Blues, right. Or what did you try?
No,
tell us the joke. I want to hear.
Oh, it's never going to be funny now. It's Ring of Fire.
Yeah, in a Ring of Fire.
It burns. So like, it was like, what if, that's back when it was all innocent, but what if he did that song today? It would lose its innocence, and he takes out a girl for hire, and he... I showed her all my love and affection, but I didn't use any protection, and it burns.
Oh, right, okay, right. An STD joke. Sure.
Very hacky.
It sounds really funny, though.
I actually save all the music for corporate stuff.
And that didn't get them going.
It did not.
God damn it.
Angered them,
because, they can't laugh at the joke that they could laugh at in a nightclub. They're all together, you said, they're all part of a corporate bullshit mentality. And whatever they're thinking privately, like, that's a funny dick joke, they can't say that. It's like they're at the office.
I think they were laughing at the spectacle of what was happening.
I completely believe it.
Is pretty funny.
It was.
I mean,
it,
just like the way you just spilt that water. Nobody's ever spilt the water mid-podcast.
You should have done some more prop comedy like that.
Yeah, it's that kind of timing that pushed me into comedy originally.
You should have accidentally peed on the first couple of rows.
Where are you from, Jason?
Thousand Oaks.
Oh, you're right here from California.
Yeah.
Okay, well then you know the way the freeway traffic can be.
Yeah.
You said that 30-40 minutes to Long Beach. I'm thinking, that's on a good day and nobody's around.
That's on the best day ever.
That's on like a day after there's been an earthquake and nobody's going anywhere.
I know. It was naive on my part.
Yes.
But
okay.
Maybe it just felt like 2 hours.
Mm.
And when you're bombing minutes, everything's like 10 times.
Yes, time does slow down. It's like being in a traffic accident if you've never been. It's like everything just goes very slow.
Yeah,
it's like, you understand every minute. Yeah, it's like basically they never should have hired you or anyone to do that. I mean, it's just funny. I don't know why this bothers me so much. Well, everything bothers me. But it's like... This corporate idea, corporate think bothers me. It's like, we're not going to be giving people something to do for a whole 90 minutes. We'd better fill that time
with it. Just and then they think of like put a clown on there. All of a sudden it's very.
Like you can't just sit with your own thoughts on a bus.
Yeah. Right. Or just chat amongst yourself.
I'm
surprised they didn't have you doing karaoke because that might have done something.
When I was talking about the Russian immigrant elderly women, that was true too. And that was the exact same thing I told her. Why don't you have a clown or a magician or
a mime, for Christ's sake.
Something that's more visual.
Universal, right.
Yeah.
Or a music. Yeah, just somebody playing a guitar.
Or give you a real microphone. I mean, if you have to talk out of that intercom.
Oh,
that's hard.
Completely. I forgot about that.
The sound itself would have killed the show. I think the people in the back just, when they tuned out, I think it's because they just couldn't hear me and it was all muffled.
Yeah.
They did the same thing for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, though. The Virgin Airlines guy had the comedians performing on board. And that, like you said, if it's a captive, if you can't go anywhere,
it's really
you're just
hard.
Also, even if they could hear you clearly, you could never hear the response, and the call and the response is the most important thing in stand-up.
Yeah.
You have to know whether the jokes are working.
Because it's 45 rows back, so how do you even know when your word got to the back of the... Well, I guess you're on the intercom.
But they're not on the intercom, so you have no idea.
Yeah.
So you're laughing, ring your call button, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you could do that.
Bring down the oxygen mask.
Let me just say, because I used to be a flight attendant, here's how you tell if you're on an old airplane. If you reach up and the call button has a girl with a skirt on it, that's an old airplane, man.
Hey, Chutz, come on over here.
Because the new ones have
the really old airplanes
down.
Is a woman with a leash around her neck. That's
the original.
Let me ask you something, Jason. I read somewhere that you have one-liners that are published by Reader's Digest.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about Reader's Digest, the little tiny book you read on the toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah, what other Reader's Digest?
With the giant text so older people can...
Yeah, and what were you like in the laughter is the best medicine area?
Wait, that was one of the editions, right?
Every edition has that little segment.
Well, they had one that was completely devoted to it. This was last year. Ben Stiller was on it.
Oh, wow.
My photo wasn't on it.
Oh, that must have been... That was a collection probably of over the years, all those things.
They took one-liners out of my comedy, but I'd already written for them, like funny stories.
Yeah.
I used to write.
Right. I think that's really fun, because Reader's Digest is so iconic.
It is. It's not so much anymore. They filed for bankruptcy and everything, so I don't know how I can't.
Boy, you're really bringing it down.
You're making it really the definition of being an icon. You file for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Kmart filed for bankruptcy.
Hostess filed for bankruptcy. You have a humorous blog called So It Goes, and it runs in the Denver Post, the Arizona Central, and Toastmasters.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, you are a writer.
Stand-up's exciting. Writing is peaceful.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe not the way.
See, I
Hannes
find that the exactly opposite. I'm sitting alone with my own thoughts, trying to get something on a page or a computer screen is like that's more stressful to me than just standing up and starting to talk in front of people.
Yeah, this is getting it all. But I find that a lot of writing takes place in your fingers, in my fingers. Like when I start to write, I can kind of turn my brain off and just let my fingers write, and that's what
you know. I've been told that one of the tricks of writing, if you have writer's block, is to just don't look at the computer screen and don't worry about punctuation or spelling, and just to write while listening to music or whatever, and just to write blindly, and later go back and do all the edits and things like that.
Writing is rewriting. And the other thing is get really good at keyboarding. It sounds really crazy, but I can probably type, I don't know, 110 words a minute, so I can type as fast as I can think.
Yeah.
So when there's no
You don't have to think twice.
There's no
struggling. There's no hunting and pecking.
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time just, I think my folks were pushy about
Where did you learn to type?
But where
did you learn to type? Did you learn in high school or
Mavis
in college?
Beacons, you know. You have to type fast enough before the groceries crash off the end of the thing, and you have to type the name of them in.
Oh, no, I don't know. That's a computer program?
Yeah, Mavis Beacon is like the original.
No, I didn't know that. No, I learned in high school.
We used to do a thing where we learned on what was called a typewriter.
Yes, yeah, see, I was
now
in high school.
Now a typewriter,
and
my
we had
friend.
Typing class.
They had it in Stardust.
And we would have to, and the teacher would cover your type, no, you don't have to reach for this. I'm just showing you. This is a visual. They would put a piece of paper over your hand so that you couldn't see your fingers.
Oh, you'd look at the
keys.
And
then you would have to go, you would have to go like A-A-A-A-S-S-S-C-C's.
Maybe
she'll
have you do that.
And so then, but that was in high school where we also had to take an accounting class to learn how to manage your checkbook or how to balance a checkbook. And those are the two and the only two classes I feel that I benefited from in high school was typing, and I learned how to balance a checkbook.
If we had had an accounting class, that would have helped me immeasurably.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
But learning all the capitals of Europe didn't help you at all?
Not as much as you'd think. Oh, okay. Hey, Jason, tell us about the Labor of Love podcast.
The Labor of Love is kind of like yours. It's all true stories, except...
But much wetter.
But much wetter, yes. I destroy a lot of equipment everywhere I go. Yes. True stories there, and we were gonna call it Hell Gigs originally, but it seemed negative and confining because they're not all Hell Gigs. I do a lot of really cool things too.
Right.
So I just
do you have guests on your podcast?
I don't, not yet. I mean, maybe at some point I will if I run out of stories.
Okay.
But, you know, I've just had a new one this weekend, so if the stories always keep coming, the stories early on, like the bus gig, I wouldn't do that unless the number has a comma in it, you know, ever again.
Yes. Well, wait, oh yeah, so, I see. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's
I can understand that
they have to pay me, and I'll do it. I still go into train wrecks, knowing that it's going to be death. Just, you know, I can
but
do anything for an hour.
Right. And if you go into it already knowing and setting yourself up like, this is going to be crazy and it's going to suck, but you know what? I'm just going to be present.
You know
I'm going to suck it in and
you
take
can
my
save
money
because you just are. Even if you don't say it in words, you're communicating to the rest of the people. It's like, I know this is ridiculous that I'm here.
Yeah.
And that somehow is entertaining to people, just that they know that you know that you know that they know.
Hey, listen, I did the Taste of Encino. I emceed a gig at the Taste of Encino. It was a big gig under a tent where they had many different types of food all in Encino. And I was the MC. And I'm trying to, and it's all old people and tiny little kids
drinking and
eating,
talking.
not drinking alcohol, but they're all far from me.
Oh.
No, they're drinking like all the different foods.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting at these tables under this tent and I'm supposed to somehow bring them together.
Yeah.
And it was, tell them what happened, Hannes. It was just a nightmare.
Okay, do you remember Schindler's List?
Crash and burn.
It was worse.
It was just crash and burn. I mean, there was nothing I could do.
It was just talk about not producing. It's like you're on a giant outdoor stage, so you look tiny.
Yeah.
You're not – it's a weak sound system. The audience is seated many – like at least – 15 feet is before the first row starts.
Yeah.
And you're not there. I mean, I remember, do you remember the movie Comedian? with Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. One of my favorite. No, no, no. The documentary with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that other guy. I was thinking of Punchline. Ornie Adams.
Yeah. Why did I bring up Punchline?
Punchline. Oh, God.
That was Tom Hanks.
Sally Fields and Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Anyway. But no, he. So it's Jerry Seinfeld post the show. I mean, he's famous, right? It's Jerry fucking Seinfeld. He's in the Hamptons or someplace like that in like a tent setting where they are. It's a fundraiser, a lot of rich people, and he fucking bombs because he's in a tent with a horrible sound system, and it doesn't fucking matter that he's one of the most famous comedians in the world. Yeah. You can't fucking do stand-up in that circumstance, even if everyone in the room is like, look, there's Jerry Seinfeld doing stand-up.
And that's then
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I was just remembering that. Yeah,
and that's the thing to remember as you're bombing is like even Seinfeld, even Carlin would be bombing right now.
Right, it's not personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you two understand the whole not only the dynamics of comedy, like
we understand all.
You know
that.
What this is? This is a love fest.
It's a therapy,
and that should have been the name of your podcast, Love Fest.
Love Fest.
Well, that's the point of the point of my podcast is that other people don't really they find it fascinating and they want to go, what's it like? You know, it's like being a gypsy. You know,
wait a minute, you buried the lead. You're a gypsy?
Yeah, well, all comedians are gypsies,
right? That's true, I see. Yeah.
But I just wanted to let people in on the what it's really like behind the scenes, because it's weird, and we do it, we forget that it's weird to people, but I find that they're endlessly fascinated. And I also wanted to invite people into, like, the green room, and you do that, too.
Mm-hmm. You know. Cool. Yeah. All right, the Labor of Love podcast.
You know
podcast.
What, you just remind me, I know I've told this story before, but I have to tell my worst gig story.
Yeah, I want
to
hear it.
Which was outside of Milwaukee, where I'm from. Milwaukee, which is an awesome place, and just say that to piss off Christine.
I can't even respond.
Okay, so outside Milwaukee, about an hour, maybe less, the Waukesha County Holstein Breeders Association banquet.
Finally.
Now, banquet is it's a banquet hall like Coors is a banquet beer, right? It's like this big, open, empty space, and they didn't tell anybody that there'd be a comedian before the band.
Oh.
Right? Number one. Yeah. Number two, so I go up there, they're looking at me. In front of me is the buffet. Now, there's nobody sitting in the middle. Everybody's sitting on the sides. Oh. So I'm staring at the roast beef and the chicken while people go up and get it. And there's like either people who look just like my grandmother or guys in feed caps. And it's like, I was like nowhere. So I'm like, I'll go a little blue. Yeah. I would tell a dirty joke. The guys in the feed caps would laugh. And my grandmother, the 100 of my grandmother, would look at me like, I don't know. Oh, I don't care for that.
Well, you have to aim for both audiences, don't you?
It was impossible. Yeah. This was literally impossible.
You do a ham joke and then an old people joke.
Yeah, it was literally.
No?
Well, no, the old people weren't going to laugh
no matter
at
what.
All.
They
but
weren't,
they could disapprove.
Yeah. Right.
And it was like a paid gig and it was like 45 minutes.
I thought you were going to say $45.
That was probably $100. This is way back.
Ouch.
And this is back when every podunk place in America was like, I'll pay a comedian.
Those days again.
I know, where you just have to say you are a comedian. You don't have to prove it to anybody. Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, I'll pay you. Yeah. Oh, it's horrifying.
Hey, Jason, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
No. Of course I will.
Motherfucker!
It can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
California. I'm not very good at this. You tell me when to go.
Okay, ready? Go.
Okay. I grew up in California. I grew up in San Dimas, where the air is so thick that you could chew it. We used to go to Raging Waters, and by the end of the day, we all had asthma to the point we were wheezing and dying. So on TV, it always looks like palm trees and reggae music and surfers, but there's a whole nother element. Hollywood, for example, is not just the man's Chinese theater. There are large portions where you step over homeless people and it smells like pee and the billboards are not in English. So there's another side. So if you do come to California, be prepared that it's not all what you see on television. Thank you.
Excellent. 40 seconds. That was very good.
I tried to pick an angle.
When I first moved to LA, I I went down to Hollywood to get some telemarketing jobs. Horrifying. And it's literally on Hollywood Boulevard. And I knew Hollywood Boulevard wouldn't be quite what I thought it would be. I didn't realize how fucking bad
That's it would where you step over the homeless people.
It was, yeah, homeless people. And they hadn't built the Hollywood and Highland Mall yet. So there was literally, they had done a study where the average tourist to Los Angeles spent 7 minutes in Hollywood
before
they would get off a bus, they would look around and go, what the f-? They would look at the star on the Hall of Fame and they would fucking get
but
back on the bus.
A lot. It's no, changed
that's
a
why
lot.
They built all that stuff. Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Remember the Superman guy killed the tourist by the Chinese theater?
Right, exactly. They have all these people that dress up as characters.
Bad costumes. Those are just homeless people.
There
was a Spider-Man guy who had his hat off and he was smoking a cigarette and I found it funny. I was taking pictures and posting
you can't do that.
On Instagram. I took his picture and he's like, motherfucker, you pay me for that? And he came at me.
Well, there was a girl knifed last year.
Yeah. Right, that was who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, get out of here. You're Spider-Man. Man, like he would have been hired by Universal Studios
to do this.
And I'm like, you can't come after me. I'm a civilian.
He's just a guy.
I didn't realize until a year later that I was actually in danger.
Yeah, I used to work down there at Starline Tours. That's where I did the Movie Stars Homes tours all the tours of Hollywood on top of the bus.
We
started there, and it was really not good down there in the middle of Hollywood. And these people have their kids out with them, and they're 5 and 6 and 7 years old, and it's like on this street that's not that safe, unfortunately. But there's other parts of Hollywood that are okay, I think.
It's
West
become very
okay.
Hip, and now there's a bunch of hip clubs, and now there's more restaurants. It used to be that nobody who lived in Los Angeles would go to Hollywood.
Well, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, it was big, and it was down in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and now we're back up again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of taking this turn.
I still remember. So they built that mall. In case you don't know, there's a big mall at Hollywood and Highland Boulevard, and I remember the first time I parked somewhere. I had to park like blocks away. I was like, I'm going to go see this mall. I'm going to see what's going on. And I'm walking down Hollywood Boulevard thinking things are going to turn around. And I pass in front of the McDonald's on Hollywood Boulevard. And it's like 15-year-old kid says to me, he goes, hey, mister, I'll blow you for a Big Mac.
And then what happened?
Then I bought a Big Mac. That's not what's important.
Big Mac.
There was secret sauce involved. This is not what's important.
Oh,
but I thought to myself,
gross.
I see. I went over the
you
line with the secret
line.
Sauce.
Yes, you did.
I thought to myself, you can build all the fucking malls you want. It's still Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, here's one thing I think that tourists don't realize out here is that it's not that hot all the time. It's not hot in Los Angeles. I mean, in the summer, there's a few hot weeks, but really, you just need jeans and a t-shirt. So enough with the cutoffs, enough with the short pants. It's going to be in the mid-70s.
I see people coming into Universal.
So people come to California, and they just automatically think they're going to fucking Death Valley
or
something.
They're dressed like
Hannes. Right, exactly. Like it's not...
The beach,
they assume that every minute of every day it'll be 95 degrees.
And it's not
like,
at all.
No, it's going to be 63 in the morning and it's going to be 63 at night. And for about an hour in the middle, you're going to be dressed appropriately. Otherwise, you're freezing your ass off.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up right about now. I'd like to thank you so much again for coming on the show, Jason.
Thank you both for having me. I love your podcast. You guys are great.
You're so sweet.
Thank you.
You're
very sweet.
And I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Sean Merrick and Anthony Bench.
Woo-hoo.
And of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
I think he asked me for a Big Mac once. I'm not sure.
Oh, that is so wrong.
Oh, I see.
And on behalf of our storyteller today, Jason Love, and of course, Johannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it.
on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.